Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, and we'll read this passage responsively. Proverbs, chapter 13, verses 10 through 13. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. I want you to turn to one other verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to read the last verse, verse 13, together, and we'll read this together. I'll give you a second to find it. It's real easy. It's right before 2 Corinthians. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Some of you didn't catch that. All right. Verse number 13. Let's read 1 Corinthians 13, 13 together. Ready? And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. And let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Lord, we stand before you needy. We stand before you in need of your word. It's perfect, it's holy, it's word for word as it's written in heaven that was given by you to us, and Lord, we need it today especially. I pray that our hearts and our minds and our spirits would be open to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. 1 Corinthians 13, we know as the love chapter, but there's a little statement made that, I'll be honest with you, I think we Baptists have forgotten. The Bible says, now abideth faith, hope, charity. The word charity means love. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. I have heard hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, maybe even thousands of sermons on love. I've heard many hundreds of sermons on faith. Not sure I've ever heard a whole sermon on hope. Hope. God says faith, hope, charity, and the greatest is charity. If that be the case, hope would come in line second to charity. And faith would be behind hope in the list of priority. Because God says faith, hope, charity. By the way, I can prove that faith is lesser than hope. Because according to Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Ooh, wait a minute. That means hope is probably the second greatest force in the universe. If you'll give me a hearing, it'll be a few minutes till we get to the truth. But once we get there, I promise you, it will change your life. In late January of 2001, matter of fact, in the middle of January 2001, my dad called me and my aged grandmother had just passed away, his mom. I drove back to Ohio. 364 days before, I had just preached her husband, my grandfather's funeral. 364 days later, I was standing in the same funeral home, in the same room of the same funeral home, preaching my grandmother's funeral. I, after a couple days, left and came back to Indiana to work. A little bit, just a week and a half later, on a Tuesday, while my pastor and my boss was preaching in Mexico, Brother Hiles, he suffered a heart attack. He told nobody. He preached that night. He sat up in a chair in his motel room in Monterrey, Mexico, afraid to go to sleep, fearing that he would die in Mexico. He flew back the next morning, came to church that evening. I was We came in off the back of the auditorium, actually off of this side. There was a set of steps that would kind of wind up to the back of the platform. We were standing on the steps, and I was standing here. He would have been right here, and he was standing kind of like this, and he said, he was going, whew, and I thought he was just tired. He said, "All right, fellas, let's go." And I said, "I love you, preacher." He said, "I love you too, Craig." He went out that night and preached. Little did we know it would be his last sermon. Friday morning came. It was getting worse, not better. I stayed after morning prayer time. When he was in town, we would meet at his office at a certain time. I needed to ask him a question. I stayed back, and he looked at me, and he said, "Craig, my back's hurting me." He said, "Could you help me?" I said, "I'll do anything." He said, "Could you pick up my briefcase for me and put it on the desk?" I bent down, picked up his briefcase. I said, "Well, what else you need, preacher?" He asked me to put something else on his desk for him, and I did. Talked to him for a moment, started to walk away, and I turned around and I said, "Preacher, I love you." He said, "I love you too, Craig." I walked out of his office, and those were the last words I would ever say to him. That Friday, he went to the hospital. They had found out he had had a massive heart attack. They put him in one of the local hospitals, and they were trying to get him strong enough for surgery. They flew him from a local hospital to the city of Chicago at the University Hospital there in Chicago. Finally, on February 5th, they decided to do surgery. He needed a couple valves replaced. He needed major work done. He literally died three times while in surgery. They revived his heart while they were working on it three different times. He was in bad shape. I'll never forget it. Brother Stoltz, I was asked to go preach at night college that night while he was in surgical recovery. My heart was broke. My pastor's laying there dying and near death, and I got to preach to college kids that are his. Try to give them a little hope. The next morning, we were called to the church very early. Standing there in the hallway, they gave the news that the angels of heaven came and escorted our preacher to the presence of Jesus. And though our hearts were happy that there's a place called heaven, I watched people weep. I watched people put their arm up against a wall and just start sobbing. The man whom we thought was invincible was now in heaven. I remember how I felt like somebody just kicked me in the stomach. I really did. As a matter of fact, I felt like somebody just kicked me in the teeth. My office was on the fourth floor. I remember running up to the steps. I mean running. Going to my office and shutting the door and falling in a puddle of tears saying, "Okay, God, what do I do?" I'd never lost a pastor. I literally just didn't know what to do. I felt like I had just jumped out of an airplane and I didn't have a parachute. You know what I'm talking about? That free fall feeling like, okay, when's the bottom coming? I remember sitting there wondering, what would my future be? Where would I work? Would I have to sell the first home my wife and I ever bought? Would we have to move? Who'd be my new boss? Who'd be my kid's new pastor? The pain was overwhelming at times. We had a church of 20 plus thousand people. And now it rests somewhat on my shoulders to help try to steady a church of that size and go through this. Could I even do it? Could I make it? I actually began to feel sick. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The more I thought about it, the sicker I felt. I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure I ever said this quite like this. When I would think about Brother Hiles' death, and I walked into that auditorium as we brought his body in, I said, God, it's not fair that when one man dies, so many other things go with him. I almost felt cheated. I'll be honest with you. I thought, it's not fair for one man to die and all my hopes and dreams are gone. They're lying in that coffin. I thought, my hope is gone. Remember at the calling hours, you have to understand something. Brother Hiles was loved worldwide. He'd been preaching for 50 plus years. And I mean, we had a 27 hour viewing for his body. Estimated over 60,000 people walked by his casket. No lie. We had the building open 24/7, 27 hours straight. Remember bringing, my wife brought the kids over to the church. When my children were quite small then. One of my children would just sit there and saw him and said, Daddy, can I go back and see Brother Hiles again? And I walked up. And you couldn't get close enough to touch the body, but probably from me to Tony away. And I held my child up, and that child is probably 5 years old or so. Took his head and just buried it in my shoulder and began to cry, saying, not my preacher. I was asked to be a pallbearer for his funeral. You have to understand, a 7,000 seat auditorium, jam packed. People in other huge rooms, I mean bigger than our auditorium, with closed circuit TV all over the place, watching the funeral. We'd had a funeral service the night before for people around the country, probably 10,000 people there. There was almost 10,000 people there the day of the funeral. Brother Hawkins, you remember. To this day, I still can't listen to the bagpipes play Amazing Grace. Can't do it. Bagpiper got up. It was our cue to walk the body. My preacher had that auditorium the last time. Started up an angled aisle up this side. And one of our special needs men began to weep and howl out loud. No! No, you can't take him away. That's my preacher. You can't take him away. Oh, my soul. I was last one to touch the casket, pushing it into the hearse. I'll be honest with you. As I stepped back, I thought, my hope's in that box, and my hope is gone. My hopes were dashed. According to 1 Corinthians 13, the Bible says, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest is charity. But I want you to notice the second greatest is hope. Hope. No wonder I felt so sick. No wonder I felt ill. We read in Proverbs 13, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. What is hope? What is hope? According to Romans chapter 8, verse 24, For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Oh, hope. Now, if you'll bear with me for a moment, I do not mean to be arrogant in this statement, but I think you got a preacher that understands what hope is. I've got a lot of hope. My faith may be weak at times, but I've got a lot of hope. My love may not be all you want it to be and may not be all I want it to be, but I've got a lot of hope. My hope is pretty strong, but I've been at the bottom and felt like there was no hope. What is hope? Allow me three or four opportunities to define it. Hope means I cannot see the answer, but I believe there's one. Brother Hollinger, hope means I don't know what the answer to the problem is, but I know there's one. And I'm going to wait long enough till I get there to find the answer. Hope says, I don't even see how there could be an answer, but I believe there is one. And that's hope. Hope is, man, am I in a mess and I can't see my way through this thing. I can't find a way out of this, but I just believe there's a way out. Hope says, I don't know the way out of my problem, but I know there is a way out. Hope says, I can't see how I can endure this problem one more day. Hope says, I don't know how I can carry this burden one more step, but I believe I can. Amen. I believe I can. Brother Jerry, hope is, I believe you're going to live a long life, whether you got MS or not. I don't know how, but I just got enough hope to believe he's going to make it. That's called hope. Hope says, I don't know the answer to the cancer, but I believe there's an answer. Hope says, I don't understand how I've made such a mess of my life, but I believe there's something I could do. That's hope. Part of my job as your pastor is to give you hope. And folks, I'm made of the same sinful flesh you're made out of. Sometimes my hope says, I just hope so. I don't know the answer, but we'll wait on God together because I know there is one somewhere. God doesn't magically just give me the answer to every problem you have, but he says, you can give him hope. You can give them hope. Folks, you don't need hope if you see what the answer is. You don't need hope if you know what the future is. God says, what do you need hope for? I'm not here to tell you how to make it. I'm here to tell you you can make it. I'm not here to even tell you how to bear it. But I'm here to say you can bear it. Amen. I'm not here to say how you can understand something. But I'm here to say eventually you'll understand. Amen. I don't have all the answers. I wished I did. I really do. You don't know how many times I've begged God for answers. And I have none. As they told the teenagers this morning, wait till you walk up to a mama in a hospital and take a baby out of her arms that's cold in death and hand it over to a doctor or a nurse and say, okay, you take it to the morgue. How do you give hope? But there's hope. There's hope. There's days that I know I will fail as a human being, as a pastor, as a man of God, and as a friend, because there's no words to say. There's not. I was driving up to the funeral home for your sister, and I was begging God for Brother Hollinger, because I knew there was nothing I could say to help him. Nothing. Sounds so cliche-ish, but thank God for a place called heaven. Whew. Say, what is that? Hope. Hope. The story of Job. If ever a man had hope, Job had it. There sits a man named Job who was, he was the Bill Gates of the day, but morally in a Christian. He was the richest man. Everybody knew his name. Here's a man that had all the, he was the wealthiest person on the face of the earth. And in the matter of hours, lost every one of his businesses. But not just that. Think through this. He lost 10 children in one tornado and their families. Here he is having to go to a funeral for 10 children and their families. But not only that, Brother Hollinger, we forget. Every one of his employees died. Can you imagine how bad Job felt? Here's a man that paid them to help him build his empire, build his business. They were not slaves. They were his co-workers. He fed their families. He helped pay their bills. He loved them. Not only is he going to his own children's funerals, but he's attending funerals for his employees and watching family members weep and mourn over the fact that his fellow employees were gone. His health was taken by the devil. He's sitting in the town dump, sitting in the ashes, taking a piece of clay pot and scraping the boils off of his skin. His friends have forsaken him, stabbing him in the back, calling him disloyal, saying, well, God's judging you for this. And by the way, you have no right to tell anybody that. I don't care what they're going through. You don't know that God is judging them. Who made you God? His own wife looked at him and said, why don't you just curse God and die, Job? His own wife turned on him. And you know what he said? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Folks, I don't care how bad it is, Job still had some hope left in him. He couldn't see a way out. He didn't know if he would be healed. He never thought he would ever make another penny in his life, but he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Blessed be the name of the Lord God. Job had hope. The Bible says in Psalm 16, verse 9, that hope gives rest and security. Hope gives rest and security. Proverbs 16, 9. Those days after Brother Hiles died, I'll be honest with you, I don't know how little I slept. My security was shaken. I was unsteady while I was trying to steady everybody else. Outside, I would smile and say, we're going to make it. It's going to be all right. And inside, I'm thinking, oh, God, how are we going to make it? And how's it going to be all right? Mrs. Lopez, you remember, we went to that first church service afterwards. Brother Colston gets up and preaches a sermon. And you had to understand Brother Colston. He was about one of the slow, you know, moving backwards was fast for him. He was just one of those slow, methodical people. You know, he could fall asleep between words in his prayer. He was so slow. Brother Colston never said a whole lot in public, but when he did, it was either really deep or really funny. There was no in-between, none. Brother Colston got up and said, you know, when things get real bad, he said, I just go home and put my pajamas on. He said, it's jammy time, folks. He preached a whole sermon entitled, It's Jammy Time. I don't know what else he said, but 11 years later, I still remember jammy time. I can't tell you how many times in the last 11, 12 years I've said to my wife, it's jammy time. Not because I'm tired, we just laugh about it. Now, wait a minute. What was that? He was giving us hope. Gave us hope. Hope gives rest. You know why some of you don't sleep? You've given up hope. You know why some of you live in total panic? Because you have no hope. Hope is found in God's word. Psalm 39:7, Psalm 78:7, and Psalm 119:114. Say, where's your hope, Brother Bush? The unchanging word of God. There it is. There's your answer. Can I tell you the people that freak out the most in the world? People that don't believe that book right there. The ones that don't believe the right one. Well, which one's the right one? They're all panicked because they have no security. Folks, I would believe one version of the Bible one way or the other just so I had some security. Now, I know which one's true. The King James, amen? Amen. And by the way, it's not the best, it's the only one. Amen. It's not one of many, it's the one. Amen. By the way, that'll give you some hope. That'll give you some security in your life. Say, how did you make it, Brother Bush? The Word of God. You have to understand something. 6 weeks after we did Brother Heil's funeral, we had a national pastors conference to run. I'll be honest with you. I didn't want to do it. I really didn't. Matter of fact, none of us really wanted to. But within, just like the day that Brother Hiles died, the longest serving employee that worked for him over 40 years was standing in the hallway, Miss Rose O'Brien. And after about 3 or 4 minutes of everybody blubbering like a bunch of little babies, in one breath, you could hear the whole crowd go, and she said, Brother Hiles gave me a job to do, and I'm going to go do it. And we all kind of went, here we go. Here we go. We all felt like Brother Hiles would say, have this conference. I don't know why, but we did. I don't know whose stupid idea it was. But one afternoon, I walked into this conference. I was walking into the auditorium to do something, and there's thousands of people there, and they're showing the funeral of Brother Hiles on video. I got about 3 steps into that auditorium, Jeremiah, and I looked up. I said, 180. Say, what'd you do? I ran to my office and fell into a puddle of tears and said, God, that's not fair. I cannot do that. I couldn't. I didn't listen to one of his sermons for almost exactly a year. I couldn't stay. If I heard his voice, I'd just bust out in tears. I couldn't handle it. I really couldn't. I couldn't stand hearing his voice for about a year. But hope's in the Word of God. Say, what'd you do? I ran to the Word of God for strength. It gave me the hope to get through. 1 Thessalonians 1:3, hope needs patience. Some of you want hope, but you want it right now. Who are you to put God on a clock? You're okay with faith and hope as long as it's on your timetable, but what about God's? Listen to me very carefully. You say, well, that's just faith. No, hope is necessary for faith. We read in, I quoted to you Hebrews 11:1, but we read in Romans 8:25 that our salvation is through hope because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If there's no hope of heaven, why get saved? If there's no hope of avoiding hell, why get saved? I'm bringing it down where we all live, amen? Now listen to me very carefully. Hope, here's my definition. Hope is not giving up when you don't get what you want. Did you get that? Hope is not giving up when you don't get what you want, when you want it. Hope is not getting what you want. Hope is desiring something that you might get. Did you get that? You say, well, I hope I get a new car. By the way, I don't want one. I hope I get this. I hope I get this. And you hope and you hope and you hope and you hope and you hope. Some of you think that you only have hope when you get it. No. Once you get it, you see it, and it's no longer hope. Some of you are so twisted in what hope really is all about. The hope is, well, I desire, I have hope that someday I could have that. If you can see it, or once you get it, it's no longer hope. Some of you that are my age or so, remember how you longed to get that first new car? It doesn't have the same appeal, does it? You've paid for a few since then, haven't you? Y'all know what I'm talking about? You hoped and you hoped and you hoped and you hoped and you hoped. Now, wait a minute. You still may enjoy buying new cars from time to time, but it doesn't have the same punch as that first one did. Say why? Because you've been down that road before. You have the wherewithal to do it. So the hope isn't quite as strong because your hope is able to be obtained. Start hoping for something that you can't have. Wait till the doctor looks you square in the face and says it's cancer. Then we'll find out what your hope is. Wait till the doctor says it's been a stroke. Then we got to have hope, amen? And once he started talking, we knew it was okay. Now, wait a minute. That hope is saying, I'm not sure if I could ever get there, but I got hope. I've got hope. By the way, once you get here, hope for that is ended. Hope's ended. Listen to me. Here's the whole sermon. Most people think if they do not get what they want, then their hope is gone. Some of you think that because you're not getting what you want, that your hope is gone. I'm here to tell you that because you don't have it, it's time for hope to kick in. Amen. Not get kicked away. Because if you get what you want, hope is gone. Number one, hope is not a means to an end. Hope is the end. Brother Hollinger, stand right there for a second, if you will. If that's what I want, and I get here, my hope is over. Hope is the journey and the traveling companion with me while I'm trying to get that. Amen. Hope's my travel partner. Come on. I'm not sure I can make it. Okay, one more step. I'll take one more step. I'm not sure I can get there. You say I can get there, I'll take one more step. I don't think I can make it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. One more step. All right, one more step. Hope is my travel partner on the way to get what I want. But guess what? If I never get here, I still had hope. Some of you think that this is hope, No. It's the journey that you're taking and the travel companion with you. That is your hope. Hope is not getting what you want, because once you get there, hope is ended. Some of you get stuck right here and say, all hope is gone. I'm going to give up because I can't get there. So my hope is gone. Your hope is right beside you. Pick him up and take him with you on the trip. Amen. Thank you. They brought the body of Brother Hiles into the auditorium. I've not said this much. For some reason, God allowed me to be there, and they asked me to be there as the family came in, Brother Ed. And I literally was asked to escort Mrs. Hiles in. Whew, that was not easy. I kept thinking, it's not fair. It's not fair. You know what my hope was? God didn't die. Brother Hiles was not God. Nobody ever thought that. Our critics wanted everybody to think we thought that. It just proved he was a sinner like everybody else. It didn't mean that no more people would ever get saved. There's been hundreds of thousands, probably millions of people saved since. God did not die because Dr. Jack Hiles quit breathing on this earth and went to heaven. It didn't mean a church was going to die and no other churches would be built. It meant his life stopped. It meant he reached the end of his hope. Amen. But we had to keep going. Hope is your traveling partner on the trip to enjoy the trip with. I can't always tell you how to get what you want, but I can tell you how to enjoy the trip. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I can't tell you how the end is going to turn out, but I can tell you how to enjoy the trip. Have hope. My dad and I have taken some long trips together. When I moved from L.A., California to Charleston, South Carolina, that was the most miserable drive of my life. Nothing like a 26-foot truck pulling a car, driving cross-country, leave on a Sunday evening and get in Charleston almost 3,000 miles later on Wednesday morning. We slept about 4 hours the whole trip. No lie. I don't even remember where we were, Dad. I don't know if it was Texas or what southern state we were in. We stopped at a Waffle House. God have mercy. Nastiest place. It was so bad I got indigestion from the coffee. Yeah, look at him nod his head. He knows what I'm talking about. It was bad. And we got in, you know, it's one of those places you could pull in, but you couldn't get back out of unless you backed up. Did you ever try to back up a 26-foot trailer and everything else, and there was no place to back it? We literally had to unhook the car, drive the car off that, turn the truck around, hook the trailer back up, drive the car back up on it, and go, because there was no room to wiggle. While we were doing it, the police were running around with guns going after people. We were not in a good part of town, amen? I'm not lying, am I, Dad? It was bad. We had people in the restaurant saying, what are you all doing here? Just passing through. You better get passing quick. Say, what was that? Hope that this journey was going to be over, amen? I unloaded my truck. My dad and I unloaded the truck, 100 degrees outside. I went from beautiful sunny Southern California of 72 degrees to Charleston, South Carolina, 100 degrees in August, and the humidity is 120%. You can't even look outside without sweating. And in Charleston, South Carolina, they had something that I hadn't been around before. It's called a paper mill. And the sky turns green from all of the paper smell and smoke. And it smells like what you clean up in the yard after your dog. And everything you have smells like that. It's nasty. So we spent all day in the air conditioner in the house I was renting. It was broke. Then I got to sit on the platform for church that night. I haven't slept 4 hours in the last 3.5 days, unloaded a truck, loaded a truck, and unloaded a truck, and I'm sitting on the platform with toothpicks in my eyeballs. I don't even remember what was said that night. Then get up at 5 o'clock the next morning, leave Charleston, South Carolina, drive to Toledo, Ohio, where my mom and dad live because my wife and oldest son flew there, and picked them up, turned around, drove from Toledo back to Charleston, South Carolina. I didn't care if I ever got behind the wheel of a vehicle ever again. I was saddle sore. Now, wait a minute. Hope was that trip was going to be over soon. I mean, get this trip over with in a hurry. It seemed like it was never gonna go. Do you know what? I still remember the conversations my dad and I had. It was sure better with a good travel partner, amen? Some of you are just looking at the end of the destination and forgetting the journey. And along the journey, you have something called hope. Mrs. Brinklow, I just happen to believe God's going to heal your feet one of these days. I'm not sure what it's going to take, but I just believe it's going to happen. I got hope. Mom, good night. You got to have more foot surgery. You got cataract surgery. We're just going to pop the top off and drive a new one underneath. Amen? So you shouldn't say that about your mom. It's okay. It's her birthday. I'll get over it here. You know what? Sometimes you wonder, is it worth it? There's hope. There's hope. There's hope. I'm not even going to mention names because there's a bunch of us, a bunch of you. Got a wayward child? There's hope. There's hope. Some of you have family members that are running from God. Can I tell you something? There's hope. As a dear friend of mine would say, as long as they're still sucking air, baby, there's hope. And he was right. He was right. There's hope. Last point, and I'm done. Sometimes God chooses not to give you what you want so that you can enjoy the hope. Did you hear that? Sometimes God chooses not to give you what you want so that you can enjoy the hope. Brother Jerry, if God takes your life early, guess what? We've lived fulfilled because we've had hope. Say, well, that's not what I wanted. No, but I had hope. I had hope. I had hope Brother Hiles would live longer. You have to understand, I went to work for the man when he was 69 years old. Don't you think I knew I was hitting the end of his ministry? But I thought I was going to have him a little longer. I really did. Guess what? He'd been in heaven 12 years. And I still got hope. I've still got hope. See, yeah, but you didn't get what you wanted. Sometimes God delays giving us what we want because what we want really isn't what he wanted. My son and I were talking yesterday. I walked him in. He walked into this building and went, wow. Same feeling we had, amen? Whoa. We were talking. And by the way, I have no idea what God's going to do. I really don't. You say, are we buying this building? I don't know. Well, what happens if we don't? We'll buy another one or build one, amen? I got dreams and plans no matter what God does. It's his house. He'll tell us which address to buy. I'm okay with that. We were talking. And I said, he said, Dad, he said, you just look so happy. I said, yeah. I said, a year ago, if somebody would have said, you're going to be happy pastoring, I'd have punched him out. I'm not kidding. I'm happy. Say why? I got hope. Amen. I got hope. I understand what it means to die to things that you want. But when I did, I still had hope. And guess what? God gave me more than I could ever think of. Amen. Hope should make you walk closer to Him. Amen. Hope should make you do more for Him. Hope gives you something to work towards. Some of you, if you don't get what you want, then you think all hope is gone. No, God's saying enjoy the trip. I shouldn't say this, but it's okay. There are some things my wife and I, we're next month it'll be 24 years we've been married. Do you know there's some things that my wife and I have not done in the first 24 years we've been married? Say why? Because I wanted to save it for later. Gave us something to look forward to. I mean that. Say, like what? None of your business. But it's not having more kids, amen? Glory. Let them three puppies take care of it, not me. Oh, there's things we want to do. We've put it off till all the kids are gone. Thank God, 2 more years, Brother Jerry, they're all gone. Oh, wait a minute. There's things I'd like to do. Do you know that early, listen to me, even as a preacher, there's, I didn't travel a lot. I could have traveled more than I did, but I chose not to. Say why? I had a family at home, and it really wasn't my lot to travel like others. But I turned down probably 3 times as many invitations as I took. Say why? Because it was my job to stay home and take care of home. And by the way, I don't plan on traveling a whole bunch while I pastor either. That's neither good nor bad. It's just that's I'm a homebody. Say, where do you want to travel to? Church and home? I'll leave from time to time only because I have to, not because I want to. I mean that. Now, wait a minute. But there's some things my wife and I want to do. We got dreams. There's a couple places we'd like to go in life. And guess what? One of these days we'll get there. But if not, we've enjoyed the journey waiting for it. Some of you do your kids a disservice. You buy them a brand new car when they graduate from high school. You know what my first car was? My dad will tell you. 1966 Midnight Blue Mercury Comet. And the whole front end was falling off that puppy. Quarter-inch angle iron we welded on that thing to hold the front end together. I'm not lying. Step on the brakes and the car went, because the unibody was shot on the thing. I mean, it was bad, but it was mine. I mowed yards. I shoveled snow. I cleaned out everything there was to clean out, and I paid cash for that car, and it was mine. I didn't care what anybody said. And I had a dad that said, if you're old enough to drive, you're old enough to pay your own insurance and gas, you take care of it. That didn't work out like I thought. I had a friend that was graduating with me. His dad bought him a brand new car in 1985. You don't know this. I do. Found out years ago. That young man is still in jail. I'm happy. I didn't get what I wanted. Say, what'd you want? I don't know. But I had hope. Things don't give you what you want. Well, Brother Bush, we've got nothing left to even hope for. There's a verse. Let me read a verse to you. I think I can give you hope. The Bible says, hang on, because I knew that wasn't it. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Say, well, what if I don't have any goals? I don't have any dreams. Look for the rapture, folks. God calls it the blessed hope. Can I tell you something? If you don't have anything else to hope for, hope Jesus is coming back. Amen. It's what your kids do before you beat them. How do you know? Because I asked for the rapture many times. Oh, God, come back. Hurry. He's coming up the steps. Hope deferred made something sick. Amen. Can I tell you something? Jesus is coming back someday, folks. And I don't care how bad it looks down here. Jesus is coming back. And if you've got nothing else to hope for, guess what? If you're saved, you got heaven. You've got heaven. Say, Brother Bush, I feel hopeless. Then just look beside you. He's there. He's there. Look beside you, because God says, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. The greatest is charity, but right behind charity, right behind your love, is hope. By the way, hope's out a step ahead of faith. I don't know what the answer is. Brother Jerry, I wished I could tell you. I do. I remember praying that you live long enough to see her graduate. Then I started praying long enough to see her graduate, and tonight we're taking care of it, amen? So you better breathe till tonight. Then we got that one to pray you to, and then that one, and then that one, and that one, and that one, and that one. Now, wait a minute. I can't tell you what the end is. Kids, I can't tell you what the end is, but we got hope. We got hope. Mama, got a wayward child. I can't tell you the end, but I can tell you this, you got hope. Daddy, you got a son that's breaking your heart. I can't tell you what the end is, but I can tell you this, you got hope. Ron, Teresa passed away yesterday. But guess what? We got the hope of glory. The hope of glory. Brother Ed, sitting in my office this morning praying for you. I still need electric in there. I'm not letting anybody touch it till you get there. I already decided, and I had a couple men volunteer, and I said, nope, we're waiting on Brother Hawkins to get better to do it because that's his job. He promised me he's going to wire my office, and he's going to wire my office. Your buddy. I got hope, amen. Can I? Yeah. Mom, a couple weeks here, we're going to go through a surgery. I got hope you're going to walk again pretty good. We're going to fix that thing. We're going to hate it for a while, but I got hope. I got that Cadillac in your eye. We're going to remove and put a Lincoln there, amen. Wait a minute. I got hope. I close. Every Saturday, I call a 95-year-old lady, Canton Christian Home in Canton, Ohio, my grandmother. I'd like to think that maybe for the last 20-plus years of every week of my life calling her, I was able to give her a little hope. I know this. She's given me a lot of hope. Awful lot. Wish Grandma and Grandpa Bush were still alive so I could pump a little hope in them. But guess what? They're looking down pumping hope in me. I can hear my grandma right now. She was only about that tall. But you didn't want to get on the wrong side of that woman. I can hear Grandma Bush right now. Trust me. She got everybody looking over the banister. Can I tell you why the first room we fixed in this building was the nursery? Because of a little old dear lady named Leota Bush, about that tall, that worked in the nursery for about 95 years. I said, my grandma would kill me if I didn't do this nursery first. I'm not kidding. I was thinking about my grandma. Hope. Can I tell you why some of you are sick? I'm not talking necessarily physically, but even somewhat physically, because you quit hoping. You think because you didn't get what you wanted, you don't have any hope. Oh no. When you get what you want, you lose your hope. Then you got to find something else to want. Hope's not gone. Hope's there traveling with you. And if you die never getting what you want, guess what? You had the enjoyment of hope along the way. Whew. I might die wanting some things, but guess what? I had hope the whole time and I was happy. Say, what if you don't get to do those things with your wife? There's something called the millennium, amen? I'll get there someday. It'll be okay. And I just keep on looking for Jesus to come back. Some of you are sick because you just don't have hope. But I'm here to tell you, you've got hope. He's right there beside you, every head bowed, every eye closed. Hope. It's not seeing the end, but knowing there is. It's not seeing the answer, but believing there is one. It's not knowing if you can take another step, but trying it anyway. It's not knowing how you'll be healed, but believing there is a way. It's not getting what you want. It's having the hope along the trip. If you die today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? Who'd say, Brother Bush, if I die today, I'm 100% sure I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Who'd say, Brother Bush, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, Brother Bush? And it's between you and God, not between you and me. But you say, I felt like all hope was gone, and I've been needing some hope. And today I found how to get it. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores and scores and scores and scores of hands. If you need to use this altar in a moment, you may. If you need to come forward and make a public profession, you may. If you need to get baptized, we have everything ready for you today. Maybe you need to join the church. It's available for you today. But may I say this? As much as this old pastor can tell you, I love you. But there's hope. I don't care how bad it looks, there's hope.